Jesus Christ, I just bless your name and I just bless your name and I just pray that you would strengthen us with faith, strengthen the listeners with faith. Just open our eyes to see your presence, to see you rather, and enjoy your presence, to know that you're real, and to be able to celebrate what you've done for us, that it would not be stale and that it'd be our daily celebration, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be speaking through this podcast and that you would convict those that love you, that you love them and that you are with them and that you are near and that you will not lose anyone whom you've saved and who you called upon, that you will equip them and you will perfect them and you will complete the work that you've started in them. Lord, I thank you for the ability to just speak by your grace, Lord, your name. And I praise you in your name. Amen. Well, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. And just want to take some time to share some scripture with you regarding some things that we can really celebrate about the cross that was done for us. And this is something that you can, no matter what you're going through, no matter what happened to you last night, no matter what you did this morning or this afternoon, no matter what news you heard, no matter where you're at, this really is something that you can take time to celebrate. So we don't have too much time. Let's just jump right in. First, I want to go to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Friends, Christ died for you. We say that all the time, and if you're looking for that scripture that can just remind you of that, you can tell someone, whoever says, well, how do I know Jesus Christ died for my sins? Right here. He justified us. We have peace with God. He died for the ungodly. And that is something that you can celebrate. Make a mental note of this, that Christ died for you, and you have peace with God. You're okay with God. You're okay with him. You're in the right with him. You're perfected to him. You're complete in him. He loves you and he's just fine with who you are. He has no complaints about you. And that's really good news to celebrate. Every single sin of your life, past, present, future, wiped away clean, gone, debt free. You don't owe God anything whatsoever in the sin category or anything. You're completely free. That is an amazing thing for you to chew on, and it's something to celebrate and really boast about. People get upset, get happy when someone, a team wins a championship, and guess what? The next year they have to go back and try to win again, right? It's almost like you completely forgot about the next year because you're all nervous about the next game, and now it's this season. We got to do better. But this is something to just be joyful about because it won't ever go away. We have peace with God. And there's something about the scripture I just read in Romans 5:1-8 here, is that peace with God, it has extensions. It extends far beyond just the emotional and psychological peace we can now know that we're God is on our side. But we also get to experience suffering in a different way when we hold on to this truth. When you start to realize that, think about it, if God's okay with you, then how do you make of suffering? You know, in this world we go, why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? But now we have a new frame for suffering, a new frame for tribulations. We can actually, in our tribulations, say, wow, you know what? This is happening, but not because God's upset at me, not because God doesn't like me, but because God loves me, and he wants me to grow in this. He wants me to grow up in him and to continue to look like him. He wants to speak to me. He wants to communicate with me. This is why we can exult in our tribulations and just let what Satan means for bad become good. You know, Satan can come and plant tribulations in us, and sometimes with our own flesh, the things that we do, we can bring about our own tribulation, but God is faithful because we have peace with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not being punished. That Jesus Christ took every ounce of punishment for you. Don't ever let anyone think that God's trying to punish you. Yes, does the scripture teach that God chastises? Yes, God tries to help us to grow, but by no means are we condemned at all. All condemnation for sins was taken on Jesus Christ, which is why you have peace. So just rejoice in the fact that through faith, you know, this is only accessible, this thing I'm telling you, through faith, you have peace with God. Let's move on to the next thing that I think scripture makes it a point that we can boast about. And let's start in John 14:16, when Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he fulfills that, because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, which we're going to go into right now, what does it say? In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with the view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So you see how Jesus predicted that they would get something special, that he wouldn't leave you and I, that you know, he's talking in the context of his disciples who are following him, and he's telling them, look, I'm about to go. You've been following me for 3 years. We've been eating together. We've been socializing together. We've been sleeping in the same area together. We've been going to all these same places. We have all these experiences. I'm leaving you. But guess what? You thought you had something good when I was just walking among you. You thought that you had it well when you were just listening to me speak and when we were just eating. I'm going to come and live in you. My Holy Spirit is going to be inside of you. And in Ephesians 1:13, that's exactly what Paul is preaching by the Spirit, that God's Holy Spirit is now living in you. And it's like the engagement ring of this marriage that God has created with you and I. It's like a down payment. You know, when someone proposes to a young woman, they give her an engagement ring. It's the promise. It's the I'm giving you a promise. That's the word that's used here. In the NASB version, they use the word pledge. That if you ever want to be sure that you know you're saved and you know that the next thing I'm going to get into, that you're going to heaven. If you want to be sure about that, you have God living in you, and that is something to boast in. It's something that you can boast in. It's something that you can celebrate right now. I have peace with God, and God lives inside of me. God lives inside of me, and I have peace with God, and I can overcome my problems because of God's peace, because of God's presence living inside of me. Those are just two amazing truths that the world cannot even fathom. So much depression and suffering and pain. And here are just two things. I haven't even gotten to the third, and there's more, but I'm just trying to hit, you know, in 20 minutes, just three big ones that I think, at least to me, but just that you know that you are okay with the creator of the sun, with the creator of the universe, that you have no fear in death. Fear, it says in 1 John that anyone who fears, that, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. If you understand the love of God and you've received what I'm sharing with you right now, you're okay with God because he's loved you and he's given himself for you, and you believed by your faith. And he wants to have something more intimate than your marital partner can give you. He doesn't want to just be attached to you side by side. He wants to live inside of you. And he does live inside of you if you believe. And that is an amazing, precious, glorious thing to celebrate each day. So let's go to the last scripture that I want to share with you in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne, check this out, "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" Friends, I'm going to stop at verse 5. The third thing that you and I can celebrate every day is that we're going to heaven. We're going to paradise when we die. And we are going to be part of a new creation, a new kingdom, a new city. And we're going to be, not only will we have God, the Holy Spirit, and spiritual bodies, but we'll see his face. And he will personally wipe away every tear. There's not going to be any death, friends. You won't ever have to worry about death. You won't ever have to worry about sorrow or grief, insecurities, pain, mourning, flashbacks, bitterness, just the way people have hurt you, the guilt that you have. That can stop right now. But he's personally going to remove that from you and from your reality. I mean, that is such good news. It's such good news. And then I wanted to bring your attention to verse 5 when he says, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." He made sure to tell John. He made sure to tell John, look, make sure you're getting this stuff written down. Make sure you're getting this stuff written down, because I want the reader to know through the ages that this is true what I'm saying. It's not like a fairy tale, okay? Because someone may read all this stuff and just think, oh, it's a fairy tale. Because by that time, you know, Satan has all these things that he uses to soften and desensitize people to this thing, these kind of spiritual things. And so, you know, oh, we're going to live a nice life and no pain, no suffering, new city. Oh, that's nice, but I can't really imagine it. Jesus wanted John to make sure that people know, no, no. This is not like the Grimm's fairy tales you read as a child. This is not the happy ending that you see in these movies. This is true. This is true. And he continues on, actually. If you read in Revelation and say, look, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and they will be my child. And, you know, this isn't just a fairy tale. This is real, because he even says, look, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the immoral persons, the sorcerers, the adulterers, the liars, they're not going to have this experience. That's pretty much what he's saying in verse 8. They're not going to have this fairy tale, you know. So it's not a fairy tale. They're not going to have this fairy tale-like experience. They're not going to have the good end. They're going to have torment. And really, I think what you and I can take away from it is the obeying the word of God. When we read in John just now about him promising the Holy Spirit, one of the things he said is that if you believe my word and you continue in my word, my Father and I will make our home in you. And obeying God's word is how we come to know him fully. It's not just hearing it. It's not just listening to it. It's actually, understanding and applying it specifically to our life. And when we don't, we repent. very important that you, you know, you understand that. But that last thing to boast and celebrate about, friends, is you have a refuge. You know, it says that in Proverbs that the wicked, they don't have anything. You know, the wickedness, all they have is their wickedness. All they have is a treasure here. But the righteous, they have a refuge when they die. They have a refuge when they die. You have a refuge when you die. And that's good news. That is something to hold on to and to meditate on and to be happy about. You have peace with God. God lives in you. And God's bringing you to paradise when you die. So I hope that was encouraging to you, and that you would remember that. And you know, the Psalms say, blessed is the man or woman whose sins are forgiven. And I would hope that, God is encouraging you to thank him. This is not something that we should just kind of go days and days and forget about. This is something that brings us joy. And have you noticed that I haven't mentioned anything about external circumstances or material things or external, you know, situations or arrangements? Those things, they're blessings from God if they're good, and they're temporary stressors for us in this life if they're bad. But that's not truly what's supposed to give us our joy. That's not what's supposed to be where we rest on. Where we can rest our joy on are those things that God is cool with us. We have peace with him. He lives in us. And he will bring us to heaven when we die. So that's good news. Lord, I just thank you for just loving us so much. I thank you for being so kind, so thoughtful, so in love with your people. And I ask that you would just build our faith up in you, that we'd have stronger faith. I'd ask that you would encourage us to love one another, and that we treat other people with love and respect. And then when we don't, we repent. I ask these things in your name. Amen.